Good morning, Gloucester.
What's the day?
Thursday.
Two more days of work for me till I'm on vacation.
Oh, well, awesome. Nice.
With the girls for a week. Very excited about that. We got Kim Smith here. And we have Donna Artizzoni.
Good morning.
And I didn't forget to introduce my guest before I started off to the races.
I'm going
to
go like that.
Yeah, good move. I got to do that. Two thumbs towards you, Kim Smith and Don. So, we have a couple items to get out of the way. First, happy birthday to friend of the blog, Bex.
Happy birthday, Bex.
Who was it that showed me that picture?
I did.
Donna showed me a picture. It must have been from Facebook.
Everybody yes, sees she's about four or five.
Adorable.
Are you going to put it on the blog?
You should.
I should. I put it on.
Yeah, put that on the blog. But you'll see that she looks exactly like her mom, Dot and Bex.
Cutest picture. Cutie.
Live right up on the hill over us. They're looking down on us right now. Gloucester Quilter. Check out. They have one of the still functional, operational webcams. If you go to GloucesterWebcam.com.
Oh, okay.
So you can check that out. So happy. Then we have some sad news. Friend of the blog, Joe Testaverde, longtime Gloucester fisherman, really generous guy. Some of the lobstermen and fishermen were in the office this morning talking about Joe, and they said, you know, when he was down here and whenever they were at Mitch's or wherever, he would not let anyone buy a drink. He was that kind of guy, very generous guy, family man, and tremendous fisherman. He definitely leaves a legacy. And leaves a hole in his wake. There is tremendous man. He was a big fan of the. He always would chime in on the blog.
Yeah, I was just gonna say the same joke.
You would recognize his name, right?
Making great comments.
Wow. Yep, very involved. Yep. So our condolences to his family, I'm sure wherever he is, he's in a good place because he was a good man. This Thursday is the Passports Wine Dinner.
That's tonight.
So
tonight.
I might be a little late for this. Well, maybe I could post this early for them, or we'll do another thing. So yeah, tonight's a
There.
So that's one thing of restaurant news. Second thing of restaurant news: Cacciatore's. Keep an eye out for Cacciatore's. They said when we did that original breaking news item that they would be going to be shooting for February 28th for an opening date.
So that's Saturday.
We're looking at Saturday. Maybe I should reach out with them. We wish them the best of luck. Spoke with Maria Ciniti, from the Franklin, who owns the Franklin. And she was involved that she was managing, I guess, at and helping out at 525 in Magnolia.
Which has been fabulous.
And I spoke with her a couple days ago, and she's no longer at 525. And the way she explained it to me was that when she got there, they needed some help. It wasn't running as smoothly for whatever reason. Mm-hmm. She came in and she feels like she got them on very solid footing.
Wow.
And now she's stepping aside, letting them run the place, and she is gonna concentrate on her original business, the Franklin.
She did a
really good job turning that around.
I saw your wonderful looking brunch eggs.
It was packed in there.
Yeah, it was wonderful.
Crowded and went till about 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
Wow.
So.
Is it Saturday and Sunday?
No, just Sunday
just
right
Sunday.
Now.
Okay.
But it's well worth.
Well, good to know.
Yep,
good
well
to
worth
know.
It.
So that's a good story for all parties. Congratulations to Eric Liacono getting that place, you know, going and everything, and with Maria, and now Maria can do her thing. And
his little son is the host.
Oh yeah, I'm sure he's adorable. I don't know what he looks like, but I'm sure. I mean, his parents are beautiful people. So
adorable.
Yeah.
He sees me at the gym.
How old is he?
Six.
Six.
He's six, and he was just so cute. And they're seating people. He had a button-down shirt on. And
that was awesome.
It was really sweet.
More restaurant news, because you know we're all about bringing you restaurant news. Insider.
Because we all love to eat.
Insider restaurant news. Okay. Another one was, so we found from our friends in Rockport, La Provence had texted me, that a sushi bar in Rockport, they were approved, Rockport approved for a year-round sushi restaurant. I think it's going to be called Midori. I don't know, and I'm not sure if it's part of that. You know, right. The Midori group, there's one in Beverly, I think, one in Danvers
there's
or whatever.
There's one in Cambridge, I believe.
So I'm not sure who's running it or whatever, but
sushi.
Rockport. Sushi.
Oh, my God. Wow.
Because those people in Rockwood are dying for the restaurant. I mean, the merchants are really trying to expand the hours down there to keep people stay open a little later. Right. And so that would go a long way.
And where
that.
Is it going to be, right?
No, I don't know.
A restaurant, all year round restaurant, will help the music center there. And, you know, I mean, you can go to dinner and then.
Well, I think a reason a lot of these things, people are trying these things are. I think Shaolin Lu was the one that paved the way for these other places to stay open and have a little bit more activity and bring people from out of town to go see them. Yeah. For all the people that fought Shaolin Lu.
But by the way, we went to Mavis Staples over the weekend at Shaolin Lu, and Tom didn't have any trouble finding parking at all.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, it's the winter too.
Did they do a good job?
How would you rate how they did a job of clearing snow in Rockport?
From what I saw along Main Street, I'd give them a 10.
Really?
It was great. Yeah.
Fantastic. Good for them.
Well, 10. I don't know. Maybe 9.
Yeah. Okay. But totally. You got to park. You got to
right,
go there.
Got to park,
no problem.
Yep. Easily walk. Get to the center. The center was packed, and despite that, Tom didn't have any trouble finding parking.
Speaking of not having trouble parking to go to a restaurant, how do you like that segue? Yesterday I had breakfast at Charlie's Place, where I saw Good Morning Gloucester contributors David Cox and Manny Simos. There's trouble, right? There's trouble. Every time there's a woman walks by, the sparkle in their eyes, they start twitching, the two of them start twitching.
The dynamic duo.
Yeah. Something like that. But the food at Charlie's Place is really good. The home fries, they cook the home fries nice and crispy, like, and they make them small so that they get a lot of crispness.
That's how I make them.
But a really nice thing to note for people that are don't bother going out because they don't want to deal with parking issues. The great thing about Charlie's Place, they have dedicated off-street parking.
Yes.
Oh.
On top of the good food.
Right.
If you're looking for a place to go for breakfast, or their lunches are great too. They have great specials. You could try out Charlie's Place.
I'm getting hungry.
They have a fish cheeks special all the time. They have a bunch of really good specials.
Exactly are fish cheeks?
Codfish cheeks. Literally cheeks.
They're really the cheeks?
Yeah.
Yeah. And they're pure white. They look like scallops. They don't taste like scallops. Anybody that tells you they taste like scallops.
But
it's the same exact meat that you would get out of the filet.
Okay. It makes a nice little shape.
Perfect for fries.
Right.
Donna's allergic.
Donna. I'm sorry. That's unkind for us to talk about fish in front of you.
There you go.
I'm sorry.
So, continuing with food, I want to point out, I'm a huge fan of Market Basket. I'm so eternally grateful that they are here, because the cost of like probably 80% of what they have is considerably cheaper, and then a lot of stuff that I buy like are like a dollar per item cheaper.
Easily.
But that being said, Kim and I had a we had in Kim has been a steadfast Stop and Shop shopper.
That was your take
when I did the whole price comparison. You said, for me, it's really not that different because the items that you bought, you didn't see that big of a change in prices.
As a matter of fact, Stop and Shop came out. I made a list itemized of everything I purchased and compared it and went to Stop and Shop, wrote down the prices on everything, went to Market Basket, wrote down the prices on everything. Stop and Shop came out ahead by 1 cent. That wasn't even taking into consideration. At Stop and Shop, they always have these like buy one get one free, which I take advantage of all the time. Yep. Like for jellies, for the jam that I like to buy. Now, this I also have to say that test that I did when they first opened didn't include produce so much because I did the test in September mm-hmm. when I was still using buying things from the farmer's market. So yeah. that was that little test when they first opened up.
I did the same type of test, and mine were drastically different.
Drastically
different.
Eggs, $1.
Yeah, soy milk, $1. The sandwiches that they prepare you in that deli, like $2.
And they're really
cheaper.
Good.
And the subs are way incredible at Market Basket. Mm-hmm. That being said, I want to give props to Stop and Shop for, I think that their produce and their meats are better. I think like there is, like when I try, Granny Smith apple, you try a Granny Smith apple from Market Basket, what I have noticed, and maybe it's a small sample, so maybe I shouldn't apply it to everything, but the sample that I have, the apple that I get at Stop and Shop is bursting with way more flavor than the ones
fresher.
That I get at Market
it's
Basket.
It's crispier and fresher.
I agree. So I'm at a place where I shop at both, and I love the meats at Stop and Shop, too.
Yeah, that's so hard for me to shop at both places. That's just really hard.
Well, the way I usually work is if I just need a couple things, I go to Stop and Shop because it's so close.
Right.
And if I'm doing a bigger shop, I go.
Yeah, I mean, because I've been doing Market Basket since Demoulas, you know, way back in the...
But, Kim, when you say it's difficult for you, what do you mean?
It's too time-consuming to go to two shopping places.
Yeah, so do you just do grocery shopping once or twice a week?
For the most part.
Really?
Yeah.
I go like 4 or 5 times a week.
Yeah, well, also Tom goes in between also. But I just got in the habit of doing it. We do this less, but especially when the kids were little, I would just go once a week. I was on a very, very tight budget. Mm-hmm. I would just go once a week and... pretty much buy everything I needed, and if we started to run low at the end of the week, then you know we just waited until it was grocery shopping day.
So. When we grew up, I think that's the way we used to do it too.
Well, I remember growing up, you went to a grocery store. You didn't go to a supermarket. You know, we went to Haymarket Square and got a lot the meats and the we used to do it that way.
But how do you? But when you go to the grocery store, do you buy like for like 2 days and then go back for?
Sometimes it depends on what I'm cooking for the week. I mean, in the wintertime, I'm apt to buy more frozen stuff. Like I buy the frozen spinach, and or I freeze it myself.
Yeah.
So on an average, how many times
do you
think?
Probably twice a week.
Twice.
Yeah. I mean, you start to run low. Sometimes I'll run to Crosby's because it's close to me. Right. But I'm not doing shopping there. But they have.
I feel like I'm in and out of the grocery store three or four times.
I have to say, also Tom likes to go to the grocery store, so
he goes,
and picks up things.
I kind of like it too.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't like it on a Sunday or when it's bananas at Market Basket.
Yeah, that's not when he goes.
But I like to go. When we're trying to figure out what we're gonna have for dinner, like. I think some people like they go, what do you want for dinner? And then they put it in. It doesn't matter what the protein cost. Right. They're building a meal around that. I like to go and say, okay, what's looks good mm-hmm. and what's like on sale?
Right.
And then build a meal around that because, if you have an open mind, then you can get like a deal. Like ribeyes at Stop and Shop the other day were $10 a pound. They were gorgeous ribeyes.
When my kids were little, that's how I did it. I would go and see what was on sale, and that's what I would build my meal around when the kids were little. But now, it's just Tom and I, and then sometimes Alex. We go to the fish store all the time.
Do you go to? Conley's? Turner?
Turner's, We go to Turner's all the time.
I saw Jimmy Turner yesterday, and he said that it's next to impossible to source any shellfish right now.
He the shells are pretty...
bare.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
But there's still... we've had this discussion about farm-raised fish before, but I like their farm-raised salmon. It comes from the Bay of Fundy mm-hmm. in a very...
Farm-raised?
Yeah, it's farm-raised salmon. It comes from the Bay of Fundy. It tastes really good. It tastes really pure. It's really hard to tell the difference in the summertime when they have both. But, you should talk to them at Turner's because I had a good discussion with them about where they source their... farm-raised salmon from, and it sounded pretty good.
I get wild salmon whenever I can.
When you can, but that's only available in the summertime.
Yeah.
So,
I think, too, with supermarkets, in the wintertime, the produce is what I end up running out of most because I don't like to buy it and let it sit, you know. And we eat a lot of greens and things like that, so... And it's disappointing to buy tomatoes this time of the year.
Oh, my God.
Disappointing.
Well, those little, sometimes those little
grape ones.
The little grape ones and the little sun golds are good.
To buy a nice tomato, there's no color in them.
I want to thank Toby for, I mentioned the other day that I loved cooking with the cast iron skillet.
Yeah.
And but mine was the only, it was like this, it was big enough for one steak.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And I said that, and the next day he shows up with a 12-inch, like the big one.
Yeah, I have one.
And he gave it to me.
Those are great to cook with.
And so I'm like, so I'm at Stop and Shop the other day. And Super K was having, she was busy, crazy, didn't it? So I says, I'll cook tonight. Because I was craving, I really wanted to use that, the skillet that Toby got me.
So, a new toy?
Yeah, she says I was she ends up, so I cook for her, and I was craving steak as well. And I says, you know, partially the reason why is because I really wanted to cook steak on the thing. She says, oh, you're just being selfish. I'm like, okay, I won't be selfish anymore. You can cook.
It's the novelty of it all.
So the method that I used, I looked online.
And that video that you showed me?
Did I show you the video?
Yeah. You should, but this was after, it wasn't on the podcast, it was after the podcast.
So the way I did it was, I got the kit. So I two videos, both online. So if you, so the lesson is YouTube. Right. If you need to cook anything, you go to YouTube. You punch it in.
Right. Right.
So I really wanted. So many people don't do baked potatoes the right way. I really wanted the crispy, skinned baked potato.
Yep.
So I typed in crispy skinned baked potato. How to do the baked potatoes the best way? And I found this video of the way they do them at Outback.
Oh.
And what they do is, They coat the nice russet potatoes.
Okay, right.
And you get canola oil, and you put it in a little bowl, and then you get a paper towel. and you wipe the canola oil all over it, and then you get the baked potato, and you don't puncture it, okay?
Oh, okay.
Don't puncture it. You coat the top of it with sea salt, nice thick sauce thing. Then you put it in the oven, 450 degrees, for an hour.
Yeah, they take a long time.
That's it.
That's it.
But here's the thing.
Wait. If we go back, did you say you wrap it in tin foil?
No tin foil. Just that.
Just that.
They come out crispy, get like that, almost like they're potato, like there's soft potatoes inside of a nice crispy potato skin. And then you put then you push them in. You get a towel. You wrap it around the thing, so you have your hands at both ends, but the towel is insulating your hands. And you kind of you put a slit in the top, and then you push together, and it kind of like breaks it open for you. It's all fluffy inside, but there's a crust of that salt that gives you that flavor.
That's the whole thing. That is in the oil too.
But then but the beauty of this is, so when you're cooking with a cast iron pan, and you got the oven going for an hour. It doesn't take long to cook the steaks with the cast iron skin. So you put the cast iron pan in the oven on a different thing.
Yeah.
So the whole that pan is like a branding iron.
Yep.
So 45 minutes in, that pan is in there while the baked potato is in there. Then you take it out, you put it on top of the stove.
And then you cook
it. You put the burner on high, and you let the pan heat up even more for 5 minutes. You get the steak, the ribeyes, and you just pat them down. You pat them down with the canola oil, and the coarse salt and pepper. But you have to have those at room temperature
because you're going to cook them so quickly. Did you do that previously?
You leave the steaks out for about an hour.
You're supposed to let them rest with the salt and everything.
Oh, yeah. But you let them get to room temperature because you don't want it to be cold because you're going to cook them so quickly.
You're supposed to let them rest.
You let them rest, right? Yeah. So you get the steaks. The potatoes are still in the oven. You get that pan is like 500 degrees on top of the stove.
Okay.
Then you get the tongs. You put the steak down. You lay it down away from you so it doesn't sizzle up at you.
Okay.
And you count 30 seconds on each side. It gives you a golden on the cast iron skillet. It gives you that caramelized it sears both sides of that steak. On the second one,
you didn't add any extra oil to the pan.
No, because you put oil on the steaks.
Okay, yeah, I was going to say.
Put oil on the steaks.
Okay.
So then at the very last, the last couple, you get a couple scoops of butter. You put it in the pan, it melts. You tilt the pan to the side, so you get the butter at the bottom, and you get a spoon. You scoop the butter on top of the steak.
Okay.
So it's kind of like sitting on top, that melted butter is sitting on top of the steak. Then you put it in the oven.
Okay.
You put it in the oven for 2 minutes, and you flip it.
Right.
2 minutes on the other side, it's done.
Okay. And so how was it cooked? And was it like medium rare?
It's medium rare.
Yeah.
Okay.
Then you take it out. You don't cut it. You leave it on the countertop for 5 minutes.
Okay.
And then you cut it open.
Then you rest. It's cooked.
And
yeah,
so both things are they come out at the same time, the baked potato and the steak, because you don't need anything else. Because greens, because I'm a man, that's what you need is you need meat and you need potato. Everything else is unnecessary.
No spinach in there for some,
No spinach. No, nothing. Just that. So Kate, so I'm done. And Kate's, she's like, oh, you know, here's your wine, here's the thing. And I put it in front of her. She's looking at it, you know, she ate it. She didn't say anything about not having any greens, because normally she'd have a kale salad or something else.
Yeah, me too. I always have that.
Because she's got to have the salad. You know, that's the way she operates. Yeah, I'm telling you, it came out.
Cast iron is really good to cook in for women, especially because it actually gives you iron in your blood.
I did not know that.
I learned that when I was pregnant 40 years ago.
But really, like, for me, if you caramelize anything, like you could take a shit in a pan, you caramelize that, it's probably gonna taste fantastic. No, I'm joking, but like,
I'm not trying it.
But no, really, like anything that you can caramelize, you bring the flavors to the skin and everything. You know?
Well, the only problem I might have with the cast iron pans is they're very heavy.
They're very heavy. Like when I'm making an omelet, it's very hard for me to flip.
You can't.
I'm like this.
But I have the small.
I know. I could see how that could be. But they have the bigger one has a handle on the other side of it, though.
Yeah.
So you can kind of like hold it.
I've had mine for years. I mean,
you just got to be careful not to touch that thing after it's been in the oven for 450.
You need to wear those up gloves.
Because
I'm always burning myself.
I mean, that's like a brand.
We have those. Those are amazing. Yeah. Tom bought me two of them.
Yeah.
You have to have those.
We got them too. They're soft.
They're
rubbery.
They're white with the blue strips going across them.
And you also
We have. We have something that's like, it almost feels like rubber, but it's.
No, these
and it's and it goes. It
those aren't
around.
Called love of gloves. I think what you're talking about are of gloves.
This is
but there's another one. It looks like a.
I don't even know the name. I'll look at the name because
they're making everything out of this material. They're making like muffin tins out of this material. They're making making ice cube material out of this.
That glove you're talking about. Yeah, no, this isn't the gloves that Tom
got
me.
Oh, it's something different.
Yeah.
So is yours like more of a cloth
it's
material
more
inside?
Cloth, but you can touch anything with it.
I'd like to know what these are.
With the
can you send me a link to this?
Yeah.
Even if you're looking for a post, make that into a post.
Okay.
I mean,
or you could send me the link and I'll make a post.
Even potholders don't—they don't.
No, potholders are dangerous.
No, potholders don't work either.
Yeah, not with this kind of thing, because you need a good grip on a cast iron skillet.
And if you burn yourself, you drop it, and the whole thing.
The next thing I'm getting is a cast iron griddle with the lines
with
on.
The lines.
That's my next move. I'm all about it now. I am. And you know, by the time I get all this, it's gonna be bad. I'm gonna be back to work 7 days a week, and I'm not gonna be able to use it. But Kate cooks breakfast every day. So
she does. I'm going to cook steak like that for my son. And
do it. Yeah, blow him away.
Yeah.
Blow him away.
Because I don't eat much steak, but I like
if you need me to do
that,
the rest, I'll send you the links to the videos that I use for my thing.
Okay.
So there you go. We should talk about, Donna, your photos that you got done by Cape Angie Clay. It's a whole different process.
He did it. They did it on metal.
Interesting.
And it's fabulous.
It gives a new dimension to it.
It almost looks
like it's 3D.
It does.
Really?
And it's so fun to see them. I mean, and
the one you did was the one you were in the why don't you explain it?
Yeah, I was in the Maplewood car wash.
Inside your car?
I was inside the car. Yeah, I wasn't outside the car. I was inside the car and I was like, you know, the little spider things that come down, they're all different colors. And I said, this might be a cool photo. So I took my camera as I was going through and took the picture, and it was fabulous. It showed how dirty my car was, but
It looks really cool. It's abstract art cool. wise, it is very, very cool.
So I said, so I went over to KPMG Clay, and I said, "What do you think about metal?" And James goes, "Absolutely."
Wow. That's, you know what, 99.999 times out of 100, dude, that's what James is going to say. Absolutely, we can do it.
Like, they make everything happen. They do whatever you need them to do.
Yeah,
I am
awesome.
A huge fan.
Monstrous fan.
Monstrous fan, because I can go there and see it, talk about it. You know, there's right. no
And you, if you have any mistakes on that photo, they have that digital file.
God.
He can correct
He's amazing.
Anything. He is a master.
Is that a good segue for the show?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You want to talk about it?
No, you tell.
Oh, okay. April, we're going to have a Good Morning Gloucester Contributors photography show at Cape Angie Clay. We'll have an opening. I'm not sure what the date was for the opening.
We don't know that. We didn't get that.
But we're gonna have a party.
For the month, I think.
It's going to be for a month, but there's always an opening day where we invite everyone to come down. We have a party. There's going to be wine. Yeah. There's going to be all kinds of stuff. But it's going to be unlike any of our other shows, because it's going to be more of a serious show, because all the photos are going to be the same dimension.
Yep.
And they're going to be all presented the same exact way. Mm-hmm. So it's not going to be disjointed at all. It's going to be very, very cool.
No frames.
It's going to be very chic, I think.
Huh?
It's going to be very chic, I think.
Yeah. It's going to be very chic, yeah. I'm looking forward to it.
Hanging them on clips on wires or something. Yeah. It's
gonna we got to live do that one, too. Oh, speaking of live streaming that, Sister Felicia this Saturday is doing the pasta making.
I'm getting my arm ready.
10:30 a.m. They will be live streaming. I hope I can be there. I may have to work. What's today?
Today's Thursday.
So 2 days from now. Tune in. They're going to be live streaming the pasta making. That's always fun. And here's a little thing, that if Safati is there, or if anybody else is there, what happens is, after about 10 minutes when we press record because it's live streaming, the filter comes off because no one realizes that the cameras are on them, and you can catch some really juicy conversations, you know, very juicy conversations. As a matter of fact, I better make sure I tell Safada, if she is there, to remind her about 15 times. I don't know if, like, in this context, we can call her Safati, or if we're supposed to call her Romeo Tekken. I'll have to ask her that next time I see her.
She's really great, too, because she talks about it. You know what?
Oh, it's awesome.
It's awesome.
Yeah, it's a good take. So we have that. The Mass Cultural Council, this past week. Kim, why don't you talk about this one?
Well, that was the... Gloucester received a wonderful honor. I have to put my glasses back on. I don't have to read... presented by the Massachusetts Cultural Council, and it's the Mass Arts Culture Award, the 2015 Commonwealth Awards, which really shine a spotlight on Gloucester, and they're given biennially, I think.
Yep.
And also it was the town of Plymouth received it as well, and so a whole group of Gloucester people involved in the Harbortown Cultural Districts, and included Rhonda Falloon, Karen Ristaben, Fred Bowden, of course, Mayor Sfatia.
Mayor Romeo Tekken. Okay. Corrected.
Mayor Romeo.
Mayor Sfatia.
I thought it should be that at the beginning, but then I noticed.
I think someone got to her and says, you want to come off a little bit more.
All right, and Margaret Ferrante was there, and Bruce Tarr, Governor Baker. So it was really, you know, just a whole group of
Catherine Ryan,
very important people.
Was she there? I don't know.
I think she was.
She went with Fred. They were in the same vehicle
together.
Because she was sending me photos that I didn't get a chance to post. But Fred put them up. I'm going to read to you exactly what the award is for.
Okay.
The award is the Creative Community Award, for a city, town, or community-based organization that has demonstrated the central role of arts and culture in building healthier, more vital, more livable communities. Two cities won it, town of Plymouth, but one town and one city of Gloucester. That was it. Very nice, big honor.
It's a big honor for.
And, well, I mean, obviously, can you point, without having the narrow blinders of us living in this community, can you really think of another community that, the city of Boston.
But
that's obvious.
Yeah.
Other than that, where else would have as vibrant? There's other places that have decent art communities.
Right, like, especially our size. like yeah. you know, because there's you know, yes. Somerville and JP have wonderful Lowell. Right. They have,
but those are bigger cities.
But I don't think right. they have as much as we have.
No,
right.
no.
No,
yeah, we have a very special place.
Even P-Town doesn't have it like they used to. You yeah. know what I mean? They had that,
well,
that
and also
fire down there.
Right, P-Town's much smaller in the wintertime,
yeah,
too.
Yeah.
yeah.
You know, yeah. So we talked about the... Do we talk about Cacciatore's supposed to be opening?
Oh, no, we haven't talked that one yet.
Did we or not? Anyway, we'll mention it again. Cacciatore's at the
yeah,
former site of Noni's, where Mooters Liquors used to
yeah.
be. February 28th, they were shooting for him.
Is,
oh, I think I did mention it.
Yeah, we yeah. did mention it.
And we'll
Saturday.
Reach out to them.
Yeah.
So, yeah. What do you guys got planned for the weekend? Anything good?
I am working like crazy on my Monarch film.
You've been, like, you, every time I call you, you're like, I am busy, 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 busy,
yeah.
busy. And
yeah.
what? So what is it about, like, there? You can't get to gardens right now, because
right.
that's a big part of your business.
Right. It's going to be a while.
So why is there a huge push on the Monarch film right now?
Because of my daughter's upcoming wedding.
Oh.
So my, you know, this is my timeline, and also because once the garden season starts, then I have to put my film stuff down.
Yeah.
So my big push is to get my timeline and my voiceover. So right now I'm working on the voiceover. Once I get that plugged in and beautiful, like it has to be perfect and beautiful, then I can do. I don't need such great chunks of time. Like, I can do a little color correcting here and do a little bit of this. But once I get the whole thing, you know, mapped out and the voice plugged in, then that frees me up to make my daughter's wedding dress.
Yeah, yeah.
That's upcoming. Then I still have a little more filming to do for the St. Joseph Film Project. But I'm hoping to be finished with the Monarch film by July. And then start editing the St. Joseph Film Project.
Oh,
so,
my Lord.
So that is my, you know, hope and prayer there that I can do that.
Now, when, like, with this kind of ground cover, do you think that, like, these garden centers and everything, like, are they going to lose a lot of money? Do you
well,
think?
It's probably going to get off to a slow start.
When do people normally start thinking about, do they start in March or not?
Oh, yes, but, you know, really, it really starts to go into full swing, like, you know, early April, mid-April. But for me, like, I'm oftentimes, anyway, driving down to the South Shore, down to Westport, Mass., because there's a big nursery down there that I use, and they're, like, a week and a half to 2 weeks ahead of us sometimes. So for certain jobs that I need to get going right away, that I have to go down to Rhode Island.
But they got hit
up,
pretty bad with
up,
the snow
yeah.
down there.
Somebody told me that,
but
like...
But they'll warm up a little bit fast.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They'll warm up a little fast.
Somebody told me at this point of the... there was a time where we had this much snow buildup. It wasn't as rapid, but we had this much snow buildup on, like, in our community one time. And at this point of time, and by April 1st, the snow was gone.
Really? Well, I that would be great.
I have you know what though? The days are getting longer. You're going to
you
get more days of long, straight sun.
But when you go through Stage 4 Park,
it's insane.
And you see, you feel like you're in Antarctica.
I4C2, how high that stack.
How
yeah,
high?
I'm glad you said that, because like at Willowdale, sometimes by like the end of April, we're like, we've got machines to on the north side of the courtyard to melt the snow.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So,
wow.
I mean, but the south side is perfectly defrosted,
yeah.
but the north side of the courtyard is still, you know, couple feet of snow on it.
The biggest problem, I think, with the melting is we haven't had any, I think we had Sunday was 36 degrees. But it hasn't been...
Don't wish for a big war.
Yeah, that's a big war.
Gradual, yeah.
That's war. Yeah, right. We do want a gradual, too. But we haven't had, like, they used to call it the January thaw. Because we didn't have snow in January. But we haven't had any seen the drip, drip, drip stuff. You know, a couple
except
of
a little bit
things,
of yesterday, just a little bit.
Just a little bit. And then it refreezes really fast.
Yeah. So I came down the wharf yesterday, and... was it yesterday or the day before we had that 4 inches of snow when we walked out? It was yesterday. It was the crazy.
Yesterday morning.
Yeah. We woke up and no one knew. We figured it was going to be 2 inches. 2 inches to us now is zero.
It's nothing.
You just blow it off your car.
So you woke up yesterday. I think that there was more accidents and the worst traffic of the whole season yesterday because we were so...
people.
No one knew, and that's not discredit to anyone that's in charge. It's just that we were caught. I think it backed in on us or something.
And it also was very slick or something. It was like a.
And also, like when it's a big storm, everybody has to stay home.
And they're right, and they're mentally thinking. Everybody was going, and on top of that, a lot of people don't know this. There was a the MBTA sent out a notice that the trains weren't running. So they compounded the problem by all these people that normally take the train, all these more people on the road. There were spin out. There was the Len Campanello, our chief, police chief, issued that thing there. Don't go near the rotary. Try to go 127 to get out of town.
Yeah, 133.
Nicole had texted us. Yep. Had sent the post. There's an accident exit 13. Yep. That was another accident exit 18.
Yep.
It took her 3 hours. Kate missed her flight to go to Miami for business. Like people are suicidal right now. And yesterday it seemed like it was the worst travel day we've had.
And then it calmed down. But it was real. When I first got up yesterday morning, I was like, 4 inches. That's this much on top of.
Right. So I'm down the wharf and we have 4 inches down here, right? And I'm saying, but they said it was going to get warmer in the afternoon. I'm debating. I'm like, do I plow this? Do I not plow this? I shoveled all the way around the building, chopped whatever ice I could chop. And there, but I'm like, if I leave this and the sun hits it and it just compacts it to an inch of water or dense thing there and it refreezes, that's going nowhere till God knows when. I had to plow it. So it's just another huge expense.
Yeah.
And
I know we spent a lot this year on plowing.
Well, I always get up really early, so I shoveled my leg was feeling great. I was like, I'm gonna shovel the whole place, and when Tom wakes up, he'll just be so happy to not have to do any shoveling. And then I could barely walk this morning because my leg hurt so badly.
Have you been icing it?
You're supposed to ice. They took me to the hospital, ice it for 2 days, and then heat after that. But I'm just taking it. I'm not doing what I did yesterday.
Put your feet up.
Yeah.
I have to shovel my deck.
Yeah. Oh, that's a big job.
I have boots next to my sliding doors so I can get out to feed the birds.
Yeah.
I don't ever remember having to do that.
No, like I wear my boots all the time.
I haven't worn
other pair of shoes besides my boots in about a month.
I've exactly my bogs. I have not worn anything but my bogs in a month. I've been warm and comfortable.
Right, thank goodness.
Don't get me wrong.
Right, but I'm getting a
little
sick.
But I've been wearing things, and I'm like.
But those aren't waterproof.
Are
they?
They're awesome.
They look pretty.
Yeah, Michael Kors. I thought they said Mark Adrian.
I like those.
You know what? They keep your feet warm, and they're not wet, even though they look.
Like
it's
suede.
It's like the UGG type of thing. But they're fabulous.
That should be a post, how to clean our UGG boots and our suede boots is because
go get yourself some bogs.
Everybody's
I have a pair of bogs like that I wear with my shorts when I'm out with
shorts.
It's really
good. I wear my bogs with my shorts in the summer. On Somerville.
I can't wait to have no shoes on my feet.
Oh my goodness. Oh my
sandals.
I cannot wait to have sandals. I just want bare feet. Yeah. I just want to be able to have my toes
in the sand.
And no dry skin.
Right, I can't complain because I did go to Santa Monica in January. So
there you go.
I mean, I don't mind the snow. It's wintertime. Right. I've lived here all my life. But the cold, when it's -13 the other day.
Yeah.
I thought.
You guys have any websites or... or books or anything you want to plug?
No, but next time I do a podcast, I'll remember that.
Right. Yeah. What am I reading? I don't even know what I'm reading.
I just ordered ordered Derek Sanderson's book.
After you finish, I'm
on Amazon.
That.
I'll lend it to you.
Yeah.
Is Derek Sanderson was a Bruins player. He's a maniac. Awesome. This guy's a maniac. Like, he lived like that hard, fast life, and then like when he got done, he's basically homeless. He was living on the, I think, in Central
bench.
Park or something, park bench, and I think Bobby Orr helped him out, and there was a whole story. And then he ended up becoming a Bruins announcer for years and years.
Oh,
so they say the book is a great, great book. I'll tell everybody how it goes.
And if you grew up with him, not, he didn't live in my house or anything, but, you know, we grew up with the Bruins and Derek Sanderson, and the, when he was on the ice, he was magnificent. And when you think what he was doing when he wasn't on the ice, and how he just went down the tubes, Kenny Harrelson had the same.
But issue. Was it drugs or was it just booze?
I think it was drugs.
Yeah, okay.
Who was it that told us that 80 or 90% of football players,
yeah, 4 years, they're broke or something?
Right, they end up broke.
Well, I think that's also part of them. If they're too young, they don't know how to manage their money.
I'm surprised at that, because I think that they have, like, classes and stuff like that for these guys, or mentors. They give them mentors and stuff.
They have college behind them.
There you go.
And then, but I don't think, if you are young, like, they just, didn't the Red Sox just sign a 19-year-old from Cuba?
Juan Mercado or something?
Yeah, so, 19. I hope someone's going to guide him.
Yeah.
Some of those guys, they make so much money, it's tough to spend it all.
Right, they should.
And they would go back to Dominican Republic or Cuba or whatever, and it's difficult to spend that kind of money.
They should have a big brother program within the leagues, you know.
We'd all say what we would do, but it wouldn't be that difficult to take half of it out, put it into a separate account that you can't touch, that you just live off the interest.
Right.
And then, you know, if you want to go blow the rest of it, and then you can realize, okay, you know, There's ways to handle this, and I'm surprised. But, you know, the
people. But when I think of a 19-year-old who probably had not much as a child.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm going to finish with this story, because I know you have to get going, Kim. I would like to thank they just retired, decommissioned the Grand Isle. The Coast Guard, Gloucester's, has been the cutter in Gloucester for a long time. Every day, It's a square looking out our peripheral vision. When we're taking offloading our boats, we look straight out the harbor. The Grand Isle is right there, and so it's been a neighbor. It's kind of like it's kind of sad for me to hear that it got decommissioned. Mm-hmm. I mean, they always take care of this boat. We've posted. Right. There's got to be 30, 40 posts with the Grand Isle on Good Morning Gloucester, and the captain in the boat a couple of years ago when they hauled it out at the shipyard gave us pictures of all the renovations they had just done to it.
Mm-hmm. I remember that.
So we have kind of a personal relationship with this boat. So kudos to I'd like to acknowledge the Gloucester's Coast Guard. They do a good job.
Invited us. Remember when they did the changing of the commander?
I
actually went to that, and it was wonderful.
They always reach out
so
to us.
Classy.
That it's such a great organization, and so I just wanted to. It's funny to have like feelings about a boat.
I know.
It's a physical thing, because the crews come and go.
It's just like a rhythm that you see every day from your work, and
And I've taken, I guess, the photography wise too. It's been a subject of mine. Like this morning I got here at 5:00, and there was just enough light, and it was high tide, so all the ice was there, but it's from being broken up. It looks like you're in the Antarctic.
Yep.
But the lights are shining across the harbor from the Grand Isle. So there's the red lights and there's the green lights, all these different lights shining off the water, off the ice, gives you these really cool images.
Yep.
So it's been a muse of mine for quite some time. And so now, you know.
But we are getting another one.
We are.
Did you take some photos?
I think they may be posted already. I'm not sure.
Okay. I went yesterday.
I think I posted it at 8:00. And I haven't checked, but really cool shot.
And they were very nice yesterday. I went over to the boat, and you know, we were able to, they were nice to me, and take some photos. And I felt the same way as Joey just said. It was like, this has been a really important ship. It went to after the Pan Am disaster, after the Marathon bombing. Mm-hmm. It was part of. Mm-hmm. The protection of our country. So, but they are getting another one.
Yeah, and if it's the one that I reported on 4 years ago, I put a link to it. It's the thing looks like something out of Star Wars.
Really,
it's really cool. You didn't see the post. Paul Frontiero actually was the one who broke the news. He follows the Coast Guard's thing,
and
said it's going to be
not about the new one.
No, no. He broke the story about this. He read that that they're gonna it's gonna be decommissioned the following day. We really hadn't got a press release about that. No one really reported about it. So he posted on it, and I'm like, and he wrote in that post, I wonder what's gonna replace it. And I had found out about what this the new style cutter that they were building. This fast response cutter.
Is it as big?
I think
it's very cool. You can you'll see it in
the
post.
I think one of the Coasties who looked 12 yesterday who talked to me, he was very sweet. He said that he was born the year this was commissioned. So I was laughing. You know, I thought you were 23. But he said it's almost the same type of boat, but he couldn't say any more.
Okay.
So, yeah. But they're so nice. I love when I see the Coast Guard in the supermarket.
Yeah.
Shopping.
Yeah. They
call me ma'am. I mean, it's so classy.
So we've had relationships with all those guys and wishing them all the well, and I can't wait to see what comes next. And there you go. We got another podcast.
Another podcast. Great.
Wow. Jeez, I love these midweek ones.
Yeah.
You know, we get to chat.
Was that the end? We're done? Okay.
We're winding down.
I didn't know
if I got the music on. No, we're still taping.
Oh, you are?
Anything else you want to throw in there?
No.
Throw a fart or something?
Oh, my God.
Everybody have a great day.
Thank you. Bye.